Hello, everybody. My name is Kara Burrell. Sometimes I go by Nuance Ho. It's been a little while, but there is a lot of Tim Ballard news that we're going to be covering today. Some new lawsuits have dropped against Operation Underground Railroad. We're going to take you through today, as well as some change ups in the leadership, some really intense mind melting new fraudulent activity that I could not wait to jump on camera on a live stream today to let you guys all know about. I just got back from camping and I'm about to go to a flag football game right now, but that's how urgent this news is. So I'm really excited to share this with you. Of course, I have my co-host Ryan Fisher joining us. What's up, Ryan?
How's it going? We're back. It's been a little hiatus.
Yeah, man. And also in the background, we're so lucky. Let me announce that we have Julia, who has done a lot of work over at Mormon Stories. We are honored to have Julia joining our team in the background, helping monitor comments, do show notes and everything. So more than ever, we are really building a structure and a team here at this YouTube channel and on this podcast and my other one as well, Mormon History Hoedown. So if you like this content, if you find it meaningful, if you want to get this message out to more people, please do anything you can to join our Patreon or donate via our Venmo or our donor box. Our links are below. You can just hit the like, subscribe, share this wherever you can. That helps algorithm. That goes a long way. So without further ado, we're going to jump into it. Welcome to the Timmy Did What podcast. I love intro music, don't you?
Yeah.
Thanks everybody joining us in the live stream chat. All right. So Ryan, where do you think we should start today?
Jeez, there's so much to cover. It's we're behind the curve. Like OUR and Tim are producing more news than we can keep up with and have a real life. So lawsuit or articles or
Let's
what are you
go
thinking?
To what I think is the most mind melting is what I titled this, How Anti-Sex Trafficking Org OUR Left Whistleblowers to Die. So that's what the people want. Let's go. Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead and add this to the stage. Tim Ballard News, April 2025. And let's go to this slide about the new lawsuit that just dropped. All right. So, strap in. So what I'm about to tell you is really some mind-melting stuff. If you thought you'd heard it all, this just keeps getting worse. So Operation Underground Railroad, Tim Ballard's group, of course, the people who are rescuing children, that's what they're supposed to be known for, is being sued in a lawsuit that this basically lays out their entire crime spree. And all of this is not coming from former critics or haters or, you know, Satan coming against Tim Ballard. This is, again, their own former employees, their own freaking whistleblowers. So here's the story. Basically, a bunch of employees that are real people, professionals, good people who believed in the mission, who were recruited by OUR, and they were told, hey, you know, we're a nonprofit, we're saving kids, we're changing the world, come join us. They left better paying jobs, and some of them moved their families, uprooted their entire freaking lives because they believed in OUR. They believed in the message, right? We get so much pushback from people who think that we're trying to, like me and Ryan, that we're trying to take down some good work that they're doing. We want, you know, anti-sex trafficking orgs to do good work. We don't want them fronting this message of what they think they're doing just so they can run fraudulent schemes, abuse people, you know. Like, we want them to do good work. So people who believed that they were doing good work uprooted their entire lives. Some of them were promised decent pay, but others deferred payments to help the cause. Sounds a lot like, you know, when you don't get paid, when you are working for somebody and they say they're going to pay you. Doesn't work with Donald Trump. Doesn't work with anything to do with Tim Ballard. So then they got into this organization, they found out that OUR was all bullshit. Sadly, that is the case of a lot of people, along with the women who worked for OUR. So OUR, according to the lawsuit, was using donor funds, not to fight trafficking, but for for-profit business deals. money laundering schemes, family loans, personal purchases. There's a man by the name of Simon Brewer, a big name inside OUR, was allegedly straight up handing out donor money for expensive stuff and family loans. And when people inside OUR tried to blow the whistle on this, guess what happened next? What happened next, Ryan?
Well, true to form and true to their pattern, they go into firings and character assassination. This lawsuit is completely independent. None of the people in this lawsuit know anybody from the other lawsuits with Celeste Boris and Kira Lynch and Brie and Krista and Mary. The stuff we've been covering, that whole group and that group of brave women who came forward alleging, you know, all sorts of misconduct, including sexual misconduct. These are completely separate camps. This is a whole new slew of people that came into the organization with good intentions, wanting to do good in the world of anti-human trafficking, anti-sex slavery. And they came to the same conclusion that the women we've been covering have come to, that this isn't about saving kids. And it's about self-aggrandizement for Tim. Mm-hmm. It's about money. It's about power. And saving kids is just a vehicle for gaining those political optics, if I could put it that way. So true to form, what do they do when these people come out as whistleblowers and internally call out Tim, to call out OER for their unethical, immoral behavior? The same thing that happens, that's happening right before our eyes to the women who called him out. Just, they get fired, of course, and then they go into character assassination mode.
Yeah, right on. Love how you said vehicle. OUR is a vehicle. It's the same as any other like gangster mob operation, just with better PR, you know, where they're not paying people, they're abusing people, and it's a vehicle to meet a means to an end. None of these people know each other, but if there's a pattern, there's a common denominator here, and it's Tim, it's his cronies, it's his buddies. So, yep, so these whistleblowers and their family members too, anyone connected to them, entire households were wiped out just for daring to ask questions and expose this. And then it also gets darker as the details include inside of this lawsuit that OUR had an operation in Belize. And just like any other ones, the donors thought that they were saving children. It turns out that that was a front, and it existed more to, quote, maximize product and investment than to actually help victims. So while they're running these fake rescue ops, they're actually out shopping for luxury real estate with the money. So a couple by the name of John and Lisa Gotts, two of the whistleblowers, were promised just $500 to $300 a day for their work. And huge shout out to Bree Ryder, who has done amazing work outing Tim Ballard, part of the lawsuits, part of the women. She's in the chat right now. Hey, Bree. I can't remember the exact details. She also got paid like pennies to do the work that she was doing with Tim Ballard. And then she mentioned in the chat, like, you know, who did get paid? Tammy, Tim, you know, the higher ups. So they were promised $500 to $300 a day for their work. They were overworked, underpaid. And then when they spoke up, OUR started telling people that they were corrupt, started smearing them publicly, right? Mm-hmm. Just like you said, ruined their reputations and then endangered their lives. There's another couple called, named Patrick Collins and his wife. I don't know if it's pronounced Dina or Dinah. What do you think? D-I-N-A.
Dinah.
Dinah. We'll go with Dinah.
We have my guess.
Patrick and Dinah. Same deal. Patrick was pulling just $500 a day, barely getting paid for his work, working hundreds of days that he banked with no pay, still crushing it, still doing the work. Mm-hmm. And then in 2023 alone, he and his wife helped rescue and serve over 100 women and children who had been trafficked. So people who care about this cause, who are trying to be heroes, and then their reward is they got fired after Patrick reported OUR for employee misclassification and financial misconduct. And then their home address got leaked mysteriously while Dinah was 5 months pregnant. Then after that, real threats, just random dangerous individuals showing up at their house, and then their lives are literally put at risk.
Yeah, think about how serious that is.
Go ahead.
That is crazy because that is so dangerous. People that have come in and working in anti-trafficking efforts, they are working and alongside with real bad guys. They are trying to find the real bad guys that murder, kill, kidnap, sexually assault kids. Really bad guys, a lot of drug cartel stuff. And so then to leak the personal information where you can find these people, that is one step away from getting them assassinated, you know? Mm-hmm. And so talk about, like, if your information is out there, your name, your face, you are in danger for the rest of your life. So I can't even imagine, put your place in these people's shoes, that they've worked for OUR in anti-human trafficking. OUR has all their information. We don't know who leaked it. Obviously, they have suspicions that it was in retaliation for being a whistleblower. Mm-hmm. If that's proven out in court, then the tactics OUR has used to intimidate and silence them are absolute drug cartel, ruthless kind of intimidation tactics. Because now for the rest of their life, unless they go into witness protection program, change their name, obviously change their address, change their kid's last name, all that, they are at risk of retaliation by the nefarious people that OUR was associating with. And that is very, very sinister. I can't believe like the horror that must, and the disruption that must have in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to do the right thing. And you never know when you get involved with Tim Ballard, what's going to happen. People don't know who are watching. My co-host here, Ryan, has personal experience as a former friend and business owner that did a lot of work with Tim Ballard. And you have a similar pattern too, you know, character assassination, smash and grab, taking everything from you. Like, he just doesn't care. He's there to make a name for himself. And the people, the victims, you know, whatever it takes to make the name, make the myth, no matter who he hurts along the way, even if it comes down to people possibly being killed, assassinated, their like place of residence being leaked. This is insane, real stuff. Really insane.
Yeah.
So part of a pattern. So going on in the lawsuit, there's another former employee that OUR still owes this other whistleblower $1.8 million. Another couple, Kevin and Isabella Gallo, two more whistleblowers were in Honduras. OUR told them that they were going to build a nonprofit together. Nope, did not happen that way. They used Kevin's home address to set up an LLC that he didn't even know about. And then Kevin and Isabella worked their asses off. They raised $230,000 for operations. And then after OUR fired them, they kept using Kevin's videos to fundraise for a project that they had already shut down. So many things that are just like, I could write this as a like an algorithm of everything we already know about how OUR operates. They're just so underhanded. So none of this is surprising, but it is just like, dude, when is it going to stop?
Yeah. And this is the third case that I've become aware of where OUR raised a lot of money and then misappropriated that money in a real estate venture, some sort of real estate venture. In one case that, it hasn't been very well documented, but I'm pretty sure it's in the Davis County Attorney Report. There is a real estate venture where they purchased land claiming that it was going to be for a rehabilitation center and then ended up selling that land when they got it for a really good price because it was for a nonprofit, for a good endeavor. And then they turned around and flipped it for a huge profit. And then another one that's happened in Haiti that I think we're going to cover later on in the show. So what we're showing is a pattern of money being used to try and get more money for investment schemes along those lines. So this is a third example of that that's alleged to be a misappropriation of funds. Those other two are alleged to be a misappropriation of funds that have nothing to do with saving kids.
And according to Tim, this is all just a bunch of smears. This is, you know, when you fight against God, God's children are not for sale. Something about lions and lambs he's ranting about on his Facebook lately about people. You might be a little confused. People are coming after me. Let me settle the score. Everyone's a bunch of lying whores, scumbags. Like, nobody's ever told the truth about me if it's negative. So it's kind of like Captain Ballard operates. Like, who, me, bro? Like, I'm the one who operates completely logistically sound, perfect operations, never done anything wrong. So these are just smears from people who love trafficking kids. What, Tim, what about the people who are inside your own organization? What about people who that was what they signed up to do? People by the dozens, and all of them are pointing to a pattern of you being the main culprit here. Moving on in the article. So at the time of firing, this couple, Kevin and Isabella, hadn't been paid for 250 and 210 bank days of work. So OUR still owes them $870,000. And then even after they fired all of these people, OUR continued to tell donors that the operations were ongoing. So typical. Like in the little YouTube documentary that I put on about Haiti and Gesno and the aftercare center, that OUR, every single idea, every single operation that they do is just for fundraising, and what's really going on is not what's going on, you know? So it's a constant pattern of fraud, straight up textbook fraud. And then when employees tried to pursue the money, as it says in the lawsuit, the money that they were owed, OUR retaliated by telling donors, partners, anyone who would listen, that the whistleblowers were corrupt, that they were the criminals, and that they were to blame for the financial mess, that they actively then tried to destroy these people's careers and reputations. Unbelievable that, you know, I know these people could have their hearts in the right place. I know so many people like them. I don't know the people from the lawsuit specifically, but I just, like everybody else, we talk about this stuff because we want exploitation around the world to end. And if that exploitation is happening within an anti-sex trafficking group that doesn't know the first thing about ending exploitation because they do it themselves, that's something to talk about. It's something to expose. It's something to stand up for victims of these people who have so much money and influence. And it just needs to end. So to be clear, to summarize a couple things, OUR owes over $3.6 million in unpaid wages and damages, according to this lawsuit. Then these families lost everything. They're suing for emotional distress, reputational harm, threats to their literal lives, all while OUR leadership kept cashing the donor checks and using their stories to fundraise. And then, by the way, OUR had an internal whistleblower protection policy, which is a funny, sad irony. That's something that they just ignored completely, where a whistleblower should be able to come forward. So whistleblower protection policy acted like that didn't exist. And then the plaintiffs are seeking over $7 million in total damages of wages stolen, families endangered, lives ruined, obviously. So all of it, every penny, every ounce of goodwill that OUR has had was built on the idea that they were saving children. And that's, again, just a very sad irony of how deep this grift goes, that they don't just scam gullible donors for the widow's mite. You know, they scam their own people. They scam their own volunteers, their own workers. And then the cherry on top is that OUR is still, to this day, trying to pretend that they are just moving forward. They are shoving all of this under the rug with a new CEO, a new name, OUR Rescue, like a freaking rebrand can erase all of this blood on their hands. So to that, we say no. We say F that. We say you can't rebrand your way out of this.
At least, and not until you do the people that have been harmed right by acknowledging the harm that's been done, by acknowledging that Tim hurt people, that the sexual assault allegations are real, and that their complaints are legitimate. At least start there. If you want to rebrand and save your reputation, at least do right by the people that have been harmed by your organization and acknowledge that. 101. Start there. Just start.
Ryan, your mic is cutting out a little bit. Hopefully that will not continue anymore. Or your video feed a little bit. If there's any kids on Wi-Fi in your house, I would yell at them, but that's all we have. I'm putting on screen. You told me that you wanted to include this slide. Ryan, go ahead and tell me why you wanted to include this.
Yeah. So what we need to identify here is a pattern of behavior. And we've been focusing a lot the last, you know, year on the first lawsuit and the accusations made in the first lawsuit. This new lawsuit corroborates and supports everything that we've been building on what OUR was about, what Tim was about. And so I just want to go back to this slide. This is from the Davis County attorney report that was issued to Sean Reyes, Attorney General for Utah. And it summarizes a portion of a discussion he had with David Lopez, who was in charge of operations over Haiti. And there's a lot to break down this. We could, you know, do a couple hour discussion on just this. But let me just read to you what's in here and then show you that there's this pattern of multiple witnesses all saying the same thing. So Dave stated that Dave said he thinks Tim is fully convinced that he is supposed to be the Mormon Messiah and lead people back to the church. Tim is acting and believes that he is a prophet and that he is acting on on God's behalf. That was, you know, depicted in the Sound of Freedom movie. And as that, with that kind of reverence and power in an organization, what he says is the will of God and needs to be transferred down to the lower people in the organization. So when this lawsuit claims that that their whistleblowing was met with resistance, I can venture to guess that he said anybody that is looking to tarnish me or my organization or my work is working for the adversary, working for the devil, is trying to frustrate God's work, and puts that kind of spin on anything rather than a good faith effort to try and do things in a moral and upfront and transparent way. And it's because of this Messiah complex, okay? So continuing, Dave said there's obviously a lot of financial gain. Oh, Dave said he really believes that the Mormon Church is behind it. Dave said that there's obviously a lot of financial gain. Dave said one of the final straws for him was that Tim had set up another for-profit company called Slave Stealers. This goes back to the whole whiteboard meeting where Tim is creating an organization where they have a nonprofit, and nonprofits are ruled by transparency. First of all, they have to disclose their financial dealings whenever a nonprofit status is involved and where that money is going to. So if Tim wanted to get more of those hundreds of millions of dollars that they raised into his own bank account, he has to funnel it out of OUR into a for-profit that's his organization that then he can make draws from, okay? So Tim did that in multiple different shell companies or money laundering companies, for lack of a better word, to funnel the money out, one of them being Slave Stealers. While speaking with Dave, Kevin looked at OUR Gala promotion page online for November 2020 Gala. For those who donate $25,000, they obtain the Slave Stealer status. So now he's also creating like this hierarchy of righteousness within the own organization. The more money you put into it, the more prestige and the more access you have to Tim and to people. In fact, there was, if you were a donor on a high level tier, you got to watch the operations happen live stream in real time. And then if you donated X amount of money, you got to be one of the saviors, one of the rescuers on the operation.
They just don't take this stuff seriously is what I'm thinking. I'm like, goodness, if I was being rescued out of sex trafficking and I knew that there was a live stream going of people in my most horrible, humiliating, like the worst things, and then my face is just like something that people are popping popcorn to. It is so physically painful that Tim Ballard is such an egotistical, God complex freak that he cannot understand sex trafficking rescue 101 is that you don't exploit people further. Like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. With this kind of money, you're absolutely right. With this kind of money, the focus really shifts away from what's best for the kids and for the Jason Bourne badass, I'm rescuing kids experience of those that have money and that can purchase that, you know? And that's happening. Continuing, for those who donate $25,000, they obtain the slave stealer status. Dave said Tim joined up with a guy named Brian Norton from Slave Stealers Entity, and it was a for-profit entity which all of his marketing, all of his movies, and books would go through. Dave stated that Tim found out he was working on a development project in Haiti with some other partners. Tim and his partner found out that they asked Dave to put his equity from that company to be put into Slave Stealers. 5% to Tim, 5% Brian Norton, and to have Dave put his personal equity into their company. So it's another real estate venture. This is the one that I was referring to. Mm. Dave had always been a private contractor for OUR and never an employee with OUR, even when he was working full time. Dave said none of the development projects he was working on had anything to do with OUR and never used OUR dollars to conduct that business. They offered Dave $25,000 a month to join their company. They were really, I don't know the full story behind this. I have never talked with Dave, but what it's sounding like is it's like this very lucrative for-profit venture, real estate, and he's blending the two organizations of OUR, of Slave Stealers, with this real estate venture. And how he's trying to justify moving that money around, I don't know. But what it looks like, and this is where the Davis County investigation into fraud was diving into, what it looks like is if there's some sort of nexus or justification for moving money out of OUR into these for-profit organizations, say it is Slave Stealers, and then Slave Stealers is looking to build rehabilitation centers for women, and to do that they need to purchase land and site for that, and so then they can now use this, all of this cash that they brought in to do real estate ventures, real estate speculative ventures, and make money that way. And so it's a very shady, unethical gray area on how the money was being used. But according to Dave, and this is under oath to law enforcement, he's kind of painting the picture of what was going on and what really ultimately turned him off to working with Tim and OUR. So they were trying to bribe Dave by, they offered Dave $25,000 a month to join the company. They said to bring his equity for this island development off the southern coast of Haiti. Dave said he eventually said no to Tim and Brian. Tim gave him an ultimatum to do this business deal with them, or he was out from OUR. Same thing that happened to these people, you know, using strong arm tactics to do what he wants them to do. Mm-hmm. Brian told Dave the partners in this Slave Stealers company are Tim Ballard, Brian Norton, and Elder Ballard, the head of the Mormon Church, head of the Quorum of 12 Apostles. Brian told Dave he was supposed to be part of it and they were going to change the world. That is a line that Tim uses repeatedly. He used it on me, that we're going to change the world, that, you know, God inspired him to come out and find me or find Dave or find other people and use this religious manipulation to get them on board with this very worthy, very noble cause of saving kids and changing the world. Mm-hmm. It's just a pattern of religious manipulation fueled by his delusions of grandeur as a Mormon Messiah. Dave said he heard this both from Tim and Brian Norton. Dave said it was discussed in text messages, and he had the text messages. Dave was able to provide those messages to us and have them included with the case file. So this is all very well documented. This one account supports what is being said in the lawsuit and what the pattern of operations, the modus operandi for Tim and OUR has been from the beginning. It's about money, power, selling the experience of saving kids to wealthy donors who will then turn more money into the organization and then funnel that money through his for-profit organizations, pay himself to write another book and give him a, you know, down payment on that work of $500,000, something like that. You know, once you get the money out of OUR into a for-profit organization, then transparency stops. The IRS cannot audit and release publicly where that money is being spent and what's happening to it. So it can go for author fees. It can go for real estate development. It can go to whatever else you have, which is why Tim got all of his family involved in this and put them in positions, not only paying them a handsome sum, including $50,000 salary to his own son, who was 18 at the time or 17 at the time, things like that, you know, like it's just kind of crazy. So I went back in time to this Davis County attorney show that this is a pattern of behavior for Tim and OUR that's been going on from the beginning, and multiple testimonies support each other in this case.
Well said. Thanks, Ryan. And also cannot overstate this enough, the God complex, the support from the Mormon Church, the thinking that nothing is going to go wrong, that the, you know, gates of hell will not be able to prevail against Tim Ballard and what he's doing. Really believing, like, I believe that he believed that to a certain extent, that he was the new Messiah, that he was the chosen one. And this was his way to build up this new organization, this new kingdom, to platform himself on this prophet status, to lead people back to the covenant of the Mormon Church, any means necessary.
And he still believes it to this day. That's why you see his defiance so resolute, is he believes God's going to pull him out of this, just as he did, you know, like he's Joseph Smith.
Yeah. And so for obviously for most of this, we're talking about his organization, OUR, which he was ousted from after all this internal and external investigations of sexual misconduct around summer, spring of 2023. And now that OUR's leadership has changed up and OUR is led, I mean, as of we were preparing this episode over the last few days, and OUR's leadership actually got swapped out and changed up in the course of us researching for this episode, hilariously enough. But we do want to talk more about OUR and just its tactics, you could say, its way of misrepresenting its past and its way of just sheltering itself and Tim Ballard from the real ramifications, the real evidence, the real, actions that it's taken against the victims that have been hurt at the hands of Tim Ballard and the organization itself, of what that organization is doing right now with its new CEO and then with its one that just got outed, Tammy Lee, about a week ago. So we're going to talk about that. But as far as Tim Ballard, he works with Ariel Recovery Group now and his Spear Fund. And I wanted to ask you, Ryan, in terms of his new groups, I'm able to find a lot of information about the misconduct and all of that around OUR, which is rebranded as OUR Rescue. What do we know about like Ariel Recovery Group and the Spear Fund as of now? It seems like he's covering his tracks a little bit more, but he's still doing the same tactics, or what do you think?
Yeah, there isn't a lot of information online about Ariel Recovery Group. Even the name is kind of ambiguous. And so I don't know how this is set up. He's obviously on social media, claiming all the time, we've just rescued 50 kids from Mexico or something, you know, through with Ariel Recovery Group. And he's making a lot of claims in that, but there's very little we can do to back up any of those claims. And so I would venture to guess that Ariel Recovery Group is people that, that have access to the funding that Tim has raised. He's now sending all that money through his organizations and to them. And what he needs to keep operating the way he has been is to not have transparency, be able to make claims that can't be verified. And this, I know, is what's in his head because way back in 2010, 2011, somewhere in there, I created a TV show concept for National Geographic that would feature Tim and his work and everything that we're going to do prior to OUR. And Tim turned down the offer from National Geographic, turned down the proposal to work with them. And it never made sense to me at the time, But I've come to realize that, oh, it was because if you have National Geographic Channel on board producing your episodes, you can't, you're going to be held accountable for fictional claims. You can't, they don't deal in fiction. I was a journalist. I don't deal in fiction. And that's not the aim. And so he walked away from National Geographic Channel, walked away from me and all the things that I had done to set that up, and then hired his own fictional movie makers, Fletch and Chet, out of Hollywood that have never done any documentary work, weren't journalists, and then he could then craft the story he needed to present himself as an American savior of kids, regardless of whether it had any bearing on the truth. And that's what happened, you know, in the Cartagena raid in Colombia. He created a fictional situation, created fictional villains out of Kelly Suarez and other people that are involved that weren't actually trafficking kids, and then created a fictional hero, which is himself, and then set up this play and had everybody act out their parts, some knowing, some unknowing, and then was able to make a movie that is mostly fiction about what happened and present himself. So with Aerial Recovery Group, there's very little we can find out about them, very little transparency. I don't even know if they're nonprofit status. I'd have to look in that more, but he needs to be somewhere where he can control the narrative. And obviously he's found a home there where he's controlling the narrative and makes these Instagram social media posts that with all these claims about saving kids, but none of them are verifiable. And and so he gets to keep going and keeps playing this persona of Tim Ballard, the rescuer, the American savior.
Exactly. Man, thanks for explaining all of that. I'm going to put this up and we're going to go into the fraud kind of being outed really interestingly, because you're here because, I'm not talking about you, Ryan, I'm saying you, audience, are here because you're like, this is bullshit. I'm onto this. And it's extremely fascinating the way that the entire state of Minnesota is also catching on. So Tammy, what's up with Timmy? But what's up with Tammy? So let's transition to Tammy for a second. So this is an article called The Minnesota Star Tribune wrote, controversial anti-sex trafficking group is coming to Minneapolis. OER Rescue, the focus of the film The Sound of Freedom, plans to train police in a new city-run community safety center, drawing concerns. So a bunch of different stuff has happened in Minneapolis. I'm going to get into the story and just summarize it here. So here's the deal about this clown show that OER Rescue, the rebrand, is trying to put out, trying to act like we all have like 3 minute memories. That's kind of what it feels like, that they act like the Timmy Did What podcast isn't like hot on the tail of, you know, covering their ass here. So the deal is, after everything blew up around Tim Ballard and the lawsuits, the sexual harassment allegations, the financial fraud, the people behind Operation Underground Railroad thought, maybe if we change our name, nobody will notice that we're still the same corrupt mess. So back in April 2024, they legally reincorporated as OUR Rescue. New name, same game. They opened a brand new global headquarters in downtown Minneapolis, where Tammy Lee is from, and their CEO at the time. And then they started offering $100,000 in matching grants to local nonprofits. And they were working on a memorandum of understanding, quote unquote, to throw $1 million into police training and survivor services at the South Minneapolis Community Safety Center. But the city of Minneapolis wasn't paying them. OUR Rescue was offering the money, basically trying to buy credibility, like, you know, please, please, please let us operate here. We'll give you some free money. Please forget everything that you read about our sex abuse lawsuits and financial fraud. Pretty, pretty please. But then reality check, local anti-trafficking groups, and at least one awesome city council member said, absolutely not, no thanks. Then they dragged up the obvious ugly past of Operation Underground Railroad and Tim Ballard's exit that is so well documented of his disgraces. And then the heat got turned up, you could say. OUR Rescue withdrew their proposal and then kind of tucked their tail and ran before the city had time to really formally reject them. So part of this article that you wanted to get into, Ryan, that stood out to you.
Yeah, the last comment in that article, Julia, if you could bring up that quote.
We added that slide before we uploaded this one.
Okay.
Julia, if you want to pull up that, if you can, let me know when you have that.
The last comment in this article kind of sums things up very well. Let me bring it up here. It is.
While you're bringing that up, I can keep explaining a few more other things about Tammy's. But basically, under their new CEO, Tammy Lee, they bragged about how she replaced nearly half of their 216 employees. What does that say to you? Clean house, you know? Sometimes it sounds less like they are reforming and more like they're just like panicking and cleaning out people who know too much. I don't know. So now they're partnering with a new CEO, and they are still hyping up their operations that they've done this, they've given money here, they've given out police training and hyping up that they've funded all these different rescues. But let me add this to the stage, remove this. So go ahead and read that, Ryan, and tell me why I wanted to include it.
Yeah, this is a great summary of where they are at, and I hope this message gets to the new OUR leadership. Artika Roller, Executive Director of Cornerstone, another anti-human trafficking organization, said she did not think it was prudent for Minneapolis to align itself with an organization still dealing with its own sexual abuse controversy. And it's like, we shouldn't have to point this out, but there are multiple women that have come forward with claims of sexual assault and sexual abuse in the organization, and to an anti-trafficking organization who claims to be an advocate for women and children, and their reaction is to discredit, to deny, to then sue Celeste Boris and go a full-on legal full-court press on these women to discredit them. And this is after their own internal investigation found that Tim is guilty of something worthy of being fired for, completely fired for. And after these women came to the organization and tried to resolve this internally, it wasn't done. Tim was able to escape with his reputation and credibility intact. And so this Artika Roller, I mean, just puts it perfectly. I don't know how Tammy doesn't get this message. And I hope that Derek, the new CEO, gets this message. Let me read it again. Artika Roller said she did not think it was prudent for Minneapolis to align itself with an organization still dealing with its own sexual abuse controversy. They're unable to resolve this with the women that worked for them. How are they going to expect that a rebrand with a new name and a new face of the company is going to just erase years and years of very serious misconduct and deeds? And to put this like in perspective, OUR is funding the legal defense for Tim Ballard and for the accusations against them. And they have, OUR and OUR's lawyers have recently chosen to sue Celeste Boris to get her information, her documentation, even the text messages on her phone withdrawn from evidence. and sue her for stealing this personal private company information. So like, not only is Celeste just a whistleblower, but she is a really important whistleblower that happens to have a lot of documentation backing up everything that she's ever claimed. And so they are attacking the information. They are attacking the lawyers. They're even attacking and trying to get disbarred the lawyers, Alan Mortensen and Suzette Rasmussen, that are representing this woman. So it's a full on attack of their own employees that were harmed while working at OUR. And so if you don't have to take our word for it, but I mean, listen to this person. You're never going to get away from this unless you, until you do the right thing and try to undo wherever you can the harm that has been caused to these women.
Yep.
At the very least, and at the most, try to at least acknowledge that they were harmed. And but I don't think that's going to happen, because so far they've done the opposite. They've not only refused to acknowledge that harm has happened, but they're actually attacking the people that were harmed.
Using donor money to do it, basically. So thank you again, Bree Riders in the chat. Celebrity sighting. Oh, my God. Bree said, Miss Roller nailed it. Tammy actually came out with a video saying their sins were in the past while they were actively attacking us. Boo, get off the stage, Tammy, you suck, new CEO. She also, this is Tammy's article, right? Can you imagine, oh, the cringe. She writes, counterpoint, when did the politics of child sex trafficking become more important than protecting kids? The politics? Tammy, you think we're talking about politics here? I just don't like your politics, Tammy. Tammy said, what? Tammy wrote, what? She said, the message from OUR Rescue, which is relocating to Minneapolis, but facing resistance, we should be in this fight together. Yeah, I would love to be in this fight together. Apparently, you have a lot of skeletons in your closet you need to address first. Tammy, get off the stage. Boo. So...
this is funny, because this was, if you rewind, if you've been Timmy Did What podcast follower from the beginning, you'll remember Tim repeatedly claimed that all these attacks on him, all these claims were complete BS, totally unfounded. And the reason they're doing this is because it's politically motivated, because he wanted a political appointment or wanted to become the next governor of Utah. Or representative of Utah, and these were like politically leftist motivated attacks, which, okay, deflect, deny, then deflect, blame, and it has nothing to do with his own character contact. You know, Tammy's taking up the same the same defense. This is all just a political hit job, you know. Politics are involved in this. Politics have nothing whatsoever to do with this. Whatsoever.
All of the spin is really gross and disgusting. And OUR Rescue, you know, is still named in a federal lawsuit. So we'll be covering that. Still, nothing's really changed. Nobody who has been a victim of Tim Ballard or OUR in any capacity is satisfied with OUR's new leadership or any kind of like helping hand that they've given them. So really nothing has changed. Just a name change and some a new CEO that's been swapped in and out. That's really not helpful. So I just don't think that any kind of press release or article is going to wash away a mountain of allegations and lawsuits that they're buried under. Actual experts, I've said this the entire time, real anti-trafficking leaders from across the world, and then including in Minnesota, have been completely crystal clear for years, since before Tim Ballard's controversies even spiked up in the news, that they have called everything that OUR does and how they operate outdated and poorly informed. So that's what we already know of OUR. They, people within Minneapolis, within Minnesota, don't want them there. They don't trust them. They've it's really fascinating, like I said, how many people who have nothing to do with this scene are just like, who's doing what now? They're doing hate where in our city? Absolutely not. You just a cursory glance at this organization, they're like, why don't you hightail it out of here on the nearest snowmobile, losers, you know? So the city of Minneapolis actually reopened their contract process and flat out said that they're no longer considering OUR Rescue for the zero cost contract, that they're going back to square one and picking a different organization to partner with. Because again, no matter how many dogs that you give the police, no matter how many training grants that you dangle, your reputation is still built on lies, fraud, and abuse. So there are great people within Minnesota who are outing this. There is a council member, Emily Koski, came right out and said that the city should not be working with an organization that has a problematic past. You know, I think she's right. No amount of this desperate rebranding, no amount of like crocodile tears from Tim Ballard or Tammy is going to erase what they've done, because this entire organization is just built on a myth of Tim that's forwarded by lies. It has a gazillion skeletons in the closet of abuse. Mm-hmm. And the very people who have worked to help fundraise for it, to propagandize for it, the whistleblowers for it, are also the ones who are saying this train needs to stop. And that's what we're here to say. So they can rebrand all they want. They can slap on a new logo, but it's still the same broken shit. And I'm really happy that people are starting to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And rant.
Okay. What's next?
Last final words on that. So we can just talk about, this is something that Tim Ballard exposed on Twitter, posted. I don't really have a way to verify this, but I do think it's interesting and worth noting. So we'll just say allegedly. It says, first time leaked publicly, Mitch Abramson, chief of OUR Rescue Mission Support, was accused of sexual harassment. After the complaints, OUR hired an external law firm to conduct the investigation. Instead of firing him because he was Tammy's lover, they asked him to resign. We will follow that and see if there's anything else there. And then from Adam Herbitz out of Fox 13 News, he has a thread about the new installment of a CEO. It says, quote, Tammy Lee helped guide OUR Rescue through a time of transition and brought renewed focus to our mission. I don't like your renewed focus. Your renewed focus is not the kind of renewed focus that I think an anti-sex trafficking organization would. But I'll shut up. Said Sean Vassarasso, I can't see it, it's too small, chairman of the OUR Rescue Board of Directors. We wish her well in her next chapter, end quote. And he stands there smugly smiling with his arms crossed, like, no, I will not apologize for this organization raping women and funneling money to for-profit ventures. I'm just here to rant about everything I don't like. So that's what's going on with OUR, and we will follow it and see what their leadership does. We are asking you guys to, like Ryan said, acknowledge the harm that's been done. Stop attacking the people who have worked for you and trying to actively sue them and uproot their lives for coming out and telling the truth about what happened. We will follow you and see if you do that. But don't try to sleep at night, because the Timmy DeWalt podcast is here. Back in action. All right, Ryan, tell us why you want to include this slide.
Well, are we going to get to, before we do this, the latest on Tammy now seeking new employment?
We are not. I don't have any info on that. Do you have it info on that?
Okay. Yeah, there's some articles that I could send you that show the latest developments on that. If you could give me like 60 seconds to pull that up and send it to Julia, then I can. Why don't you talk about this? Why don't you go through this article and I'll pull that up, and then I'll be ready to go when that's done.
Okay. And this is also a great time for everyone to press the like button, because they like how we have everything organized and researched and there's absolutely no hiccups on the Timmy DeWalt podcast. And share this, go to our Patreon, recurring donations, help keep this funded. And I also wanted to add that I got to do full screen, you guys. This is my last Timmy DeWalt podcast in this studio, because I am moving next weekend. I have sold my house. Kara, where are you moving? I don't know, but I'm blowing this popsicle stand, and this is my last time that we get to be together in this situation. But I have hired a team. I'm paying Ryan. I pay Julia now. And I am going to be coming at you hopefully once or twice a week with episodes from my Mormon History Hoedown podcast and this Tim You Did What podcast. So if you like what I'm doing over here, please support it. I want to be able to fund this, keep it going, keep it structured, and pay the people who keep it running. So if you're a donor already, I love you, love you, love you so, so much. If you're not, please consider being one. You can join the channel. There's Venmos, there's Donor Box. I don't need to rant anymore about it, but it really helps. It goes a long way. Thank you guys for sticking with me through this. Back to this and this. So if you can't see it, I can make it full screen a little bit better. That doesn't do much, does it? Controversial, this is from Sully Tribune. Controversial Utah artist's new painting pays tribute to contemporary abolitionists, quote unquote, but critics call it exploitative and culturally clueless. I would agree with critics on that one. Don't mean to be a critic, but I've seen the video of the artist and Tim Ballard working together to create this, and it's supposed to depict Tim Ballard carrying people who have been victims of some kind of sexual crime, similar to the operation, you know, the Underground Railroad, where they got their name from Harriet Tubman, and it's supposed to be him kind of in this white savior-like role with his wife and just these modern-day slave stealers who are carrying people out and then around them kneeling. It's Harriet Tubman, who's like, aye, aye, Captain Tim Ballard, you're the man. Absolutely following in my legacy. Love, love, love. And, you know, what George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, just various political figures in the back, just like, three cheers for Tim Ballard. Hip, hip, hooray. We love everything that you're doing. Need I say more? This all falls in line with Tim Ballard's hero complex. It would be really... It'd be something if, like, you know, he was just Mr. Humble Guy. I'm just a humble guy. I just do this. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. Oh, there's interviews where people want me to talk about my operations. I am too shy. I could never talk and propagandize and myth make on my behalf. This is about the kids. It'd be one thing if that's who Tim Ballard is. Is he that guy? Absolutely not. He is about 99.9% the myth and like 0.1% the work, right? Gosh, God, I wish I could turn off that sound, but I can't. It's too difficult at this time. All right, sorry, muting that. So Julia's working on queuing up that display. Thanks, Julia. So it'd be one thing if he was Mr. Humble Guy, but he's not. But the cringe factor is just absolutely overwhelming me. It fills me with absolutely no joy to tell you that a man who was raised hundreds of millions of dollars at this point on the myth of being a white savior is not a white savior at all, and just took the myth of the Underground Railroad of Harriet Tubman, rebranded it for himself, and said she was good at what she did, but modern day slavery, it's even bigger. It's even bigger, and you know who's the number one guy for me for to fix it? I didn't want this job, but it's me. It's Tim Ballard. I'm the guy. Oh, you guys are painting a painting about me being the white savior? Oh, I don't know. That's a little much to have so many cool people from history kneeling and applauding me. But what are you going to do? It's already been painted. Put it up on the big screen. Post it around my house. Put it as background on my phone. So that's my explanation of Tim Ballard's painting here. Hard idea.
Great. Yeah, it's this is important because the rebranding, this looks back into where OUR started. It was with this painting depicts everything. It has depicts, you know, some general person that is in the middle. But then Tim Ballard is behind him carrying a child with his wife, Catherine, carrying another child. And you have Abraham Lincoln and Harriet Tubman looking on in reverence, like they're continuing the work. And so it's not only cultural appropriation with original Underground Railroad, and comparing this sex slavery to slavery in the United States in the early 19th century, but it's also just highlights the white savior complex and the messiah complex, the grandeurs of delusion that Tim suffers from, and then all these people kneeling down, revering him as who he wants to be perceived as. And so it's really tied heavily to his religious convictions about America being a promised land and God having requirements on this promised land that if we don't serve him, then we're all going to be destroyed. And so OUR really was a religious organization being led by Tim, who was being led by Elder Ballard, and had all these religious themes moved down, and they're trying to rebrand from that. This was where it all started with this kind of really revisionist history and religious messaging. And it's why Tim had to go, in addition to all of his nefarious sexual assaults and things, other things that he was accused of. So that's where we came from, and the new OUR is trying to distance themselves from that without actually acknowledging any of that that's come forward. So one other thing that I want to cover, Julia, if you have that that link that I sent you that you can pull up whenever you're ready, we can talk about that too. The CEO listed on OUR Rescue, the new branding, is a guy, Derek Benner. And it's worth noting that he has been embroiled in controversies himself. He came from Homeland Security, and there's some reporting in the Daily Mail that have shown that he was a customs official and was promoted after ordering illegal drug sting that ended in an informant's murder and $100,000 in taxpayer money wired to a Mexican dealer.
Say what?
Yeah, yeah. So
my head is spinning with controversy.
So like, yeah, trying to put people in place that are competent and is just seems like OUR is like incapable of doing, absolutely incapable of doing. Derek Benyon is responsible for, an informant's murder and $100,000 in taxpayer money. I wonder if it's because he leaked, doxed and leaked the personal information of that informant to the nefarious people they're dealing with. He got somebody murdered and $100,000 wired to a Mexican dealer. I mean, this just, I don't know the entire circumstance of what this entailed and why it went so badly wrong, but this is the guy in charge making decisions for OUR's future. And it just kind of ties in the lawsuit that we talked about from the beginning with the incompetence of OUR to the current day. I don't see that there's leadership in that position that can make a change for the better and steer this organization anywhere away from disaster.
You know what my prediction is here? Chat, everybody, listen in. Give me your thoughts. This sounds like a very classic case of the same way that when people are like church broke or they have done enough shit in their private life that there's enough to either blackmail somebody with or what have you, that this will be their yes man. That where else are they going to go? They have, you know, tangentially enough of the background and experience that it's not like they're just hiring the pool boy to come work for them because they'll be a yes man for what they need to have said and done at OUR. But when you have enough skeletons in the closet, you can dangle a carrot on the stick and be like, you're going to be our good little yes boy, or else we're going to make sure that you're going to go down for all of these crimes and stuff. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? And they're like, yes, please. We'll do whatever immoral, terrible things that you want us to do. As our lovely Brie Ryder said, say it again, hear that, OUR is paying for Tim and still a full court press trying to discredit us. So when you have, you know, if they had somebody who was competent, A, they wouldn't work for OUR, ha ha ha. And then B, their incompetence is not just a coincidence, it's part of the program. It is the reason why they are hired. Their incompetence is what guides them to make OUR even more enriched and do the nefarious, crappy things that they like to do, like go after the women in this case. That's what I'm going to be paying attention to. That's what I think this position is all about.
Yep. Well said. All right. There's a lot more to cover. We have several other articles that need attention, but we're going to postpone those till other episodes leave this with them, right?
That's it for today, right? Anything else you want to add at the end of the show?
Just that it's actually a little bit encouraging to see that Tammy Lee and OUR, that they can leave Utah, they can run, but they can't hide. But they can go to Minneapolis, try a rebrand, name, get rid of 2/3 of their staff, and try and completely rebrand. But until they do right by the people who they've already harmed, their reputation is going to follow them. And I don't think they can hide from that. So it's a little bit encouraging that in the information age, you just can't suppress this kind of information. Mm-hmm. And they haven't got that message yet, but I hope it does get through to them, and that they'll actually pay attention to what people are demanding in Minneapolis, which is accountability, transparency, honesty, and actually do the things you say you're going to do. And they don't have that confidence in them, and neither should anybody else, until they do right by the people who have been harmed.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see anything changing. I don't think the enormous amount of manure, of shit that they're trying to build a house on. I remember a primary song about the wise man built his house upon a rock, foolish man built his house upon a sand. I just don't know what else there is to do here. It's like, how corrupt can an organization be in the past? Sometimes you just gotta like chop things up and say, here, our organization is no longer able to have any credible money going to us. Nobody should trust us. We actually do care about kids. We care about victims. Money coming to us at this point, this organization trying to move forward, the only thing we can do is just close down shop, give the money to the victims, stop trying to fight them, and give money to actual anti-sex organizations. This was an entire charade that Tim Ballard propagated for a long time. Because we care about victims and kids, we're not going to carry it for it any longer. We are going to be in the business of making sure that anti-sex trafficking orgs that do what we did as a front can no longer operate in this world because of how much we care. That would be a fever dream. But in case OUR is listening to this, sorry, rebrand OUR Rescue. In case they're listening of what they need to do to gain any kind of credibility, that's about it. So stop fighting against the victims. Stop suing Celeste Borst. You guys made all of your money on wanting to end exploitation. The stage is yours. The choice is yours at Chuckorama or the Timmy Did What podcast. All right. Thank you guys for tuning into this live stream. Hope you guys appreciate it. We didn't get to cover nearly all of the news stories that were out. We have even more that we had to cut for time's sake because I have to go kick some ass at a flag football game right now. So come back next week. Hopefully I'll be in a new studio, probably live streaming out of an RV. Total badasses like to do, because we want to get the stories out there. So if you haven't subscribed to this channel already, please do. We're going to be starting to get into the regular habit of getting these things worked. Thanks for everyone's patience while me and Ryan have figured some things out, while I've been a little MIA while working on selling my house, which has now been completed. So we're ready to invest in this business here. We're ready to hire staff and make this entire podcast more structured and commit you regularly. So our Patreon link is down below, donor box, Venmo is down below. Support us any way that you can so I can pay these fine folks who help it keep going and keep getting the word out. And leave a comment below for the algorithm. You know, guys know what to do. Thank you again, Bree, any other women that were in this chat. We really love and appreciate you. We hope you're doing well. Bree said, thank you so much, Ryan and Kara, for not letting him hide. You know that's what we do. All right. All right. This has been the Timmy Did What podcast. Bye, everybody.